Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
I'm guessing it's Wednesday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, listening to Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. What else you need? Head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs do go up Wednesdays and Saturday morning. Something new popped up there this morning. If you haven't been over there, take a look at it. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, follow it up to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like, I'd really appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Work Time, and Dan is at
Dan is the man with three E's.
All right. Now, you know, Dan, I know the baseball season is going to probably spend quite a bit of time talking about that. I heard this today, and I thought it was kind of, I don't even know if I want to call it interesting. I think just kind of a sad take on society. The Arizona Cardinals made a coaching change. You know, they had a coach for 1 year. They decided he wasn't the right guy. They brought in Cliff Kingsbury, who ironically had a losing record in college, they believe is an offensive genius. Well, today, Kingsbury announced that during his team meeting, he will give the players cell phone breaks 30 minutes into a meeting. And is our society really that sad that grown adults need cell phone breaks 30 minutes into their meetings because they just can't sit through them?
I mean, I don't even know what to say to that.
It is humorously, it's kind of sad because I just always kind of assumed that it was a statement on myself personally, but I have three other people in my department. They would much rather actually pick up their phone and look at the phone than actually have a conversation with me. But I can understand that. I just assumed it was a take on me because, honestly, the only time anybody ever talks to me is when I'm on here with you, Bill, you, Mr. Fantasy, Tom Burke, Stu. Otherwise, I just talk to the cats all day. So I'm kind of used to that. But you had to listen to this guy, and he was like, well, you know, about 30 minutes in, they'll be, and I believe he used the term jonesing. And it was just kind of like, really? Grown men can't through a two-hour meeting without touching their cell phone?
Why is the meeting so long anyway?
Well, you know, they end up going over tape and that's the last time. You know, you go back and forth through the tape, and then you put your game plan in. It can take a while because you end up going over things multiple. But you know, even if it's a couple hour meeting, you can't. I know when we were working for the same company years back, we had meetings that went longer than minutes, and I believe everybody made it. Maybe they weren't paying attention, and that's how they made it to the meeting, but I didn't remember it being a gigantic issue until this came up, and it was like, yeah, well, every 30 minutes we'll take a cell phone break. Okay, if you need it, great.
Maybe that's what he was doing in college.
Maybe that's why he had a losing record? Is that what you're implying? yeah, you know, that's, you know, or maybe he didn't do it and the guys were, you know, they lost interest, just kept looking at their phones, and that's why they lost, because they weren't prepared to play. So maybe this is how he's going to change it, and he's going to be a big winner in the NFL because he's going to, you know, allow guys to do this, right?
Yeah, I mean, they'll be more relaxed. They'll be able to.
So what you're saying is we should all bet on Arizona Super Bowl this year?
If you're gonna go off anything, I think this would fall. You're on your own.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I'll remember that when I'm putting you in the upcoming baseball season. Oh, I know.
You never remember that when you're changing your lineup.
Well, you know, like I said, I assume we were spend the majority of time talking about baseball. I thought that was kind of a humorous story there. But are you all set for opening day? Do you have your plan in place to watch the early game while you're at work, or are you just going to stay home?
Oh, I wish I could stay home.
So what is your plan then?
The same as always, MLB.TV.
So yeah, I have to make sure I have a friend who lets me use his password, but he yells at me when I delete it. So I got to make sure I didn't delete it and that I still have it, so I can watch games tomorrow. But, so otherwise I'll be in trouble then.
Well, you won't be able to obviously watch it on your laptop.
No, but I, you know, luckily my, you know, still works on the tablet and, you know, the TV, the stream, the Roku TV. So, you know, I'll have those options. But yeah, no laptop, thanks to my friends at AT&T who just want to sell me product, not actually fix my problem. But I. To that, that's kind of how things fall. So.
Yeah, but no, I mean, that's how they reel you in. Hey, we'll give you this, but if you really want to use it, you need to have this instead.
Yeah. You know, it was, you know, like I said, it was just incredibly disappointing because I haven't had any problem at all, and then just magically they popped up, and now they won't go away, and I went through and did all the basic fixes that are, you know, out to try. Obviously, as you know, I don't have fantastic computer knowledge. And just, yeah, no help so far, but I'm hoping, you know, our buddy, I guess I should actually say, Schomburg said when he had this issue, he bought a wireless computer, and that took care of his problems. So that may be something I may have to down on. It's called a wireless repeater.
Oh.
So I may have to look into that if my problems continue here. I'm hoping, you know, I think my living situation may change because I think my roommate finally found a house she likes, and if things go right, maybe moving, and maybe I'll just have better luck wherever we go, but I doubt that.
Oh, I mean, that could be the case. You won't be in a complex with so many users.
So, yeah, you know, if people ever wonder, I know it happened to me on Sunday, I was telling you off the air, if I just magically disappear, it's just my internet whacking out and throwing me offline, because obviously Dan and I do the podcast through the internet. So, you know, it's just one of those fun things I have to deal with. And again, you can thank Uverse for that. It was, like I said, they had zero interest in wanting to actually help me. So that was fun and exciting for me.
But you know, either way, I don't know what you and your fantasy covered Sunday, but what did you think of the recent extensions over the last week?
The what was that? I couldn't really hear.
the recent contract extensions for Chris Sale, DeGrom, Goldschmidt, and Verlander?
Yeah, you know, actually, I think it's more a statement on Major League Baseball free agency than, you know, than anything. And I know, you know, there's, you know, probably a lot of people out there who don't believe it, but I honestly don't think these guys want to sit out on the market, you know, like Harper and Machado did and go through all that BS. You know, then you still look at it, and Craig Kimbrel and Dallas Keuchel are still out there. You know, never got deals. And I know Mike Trout actually mentioned it in his press conference, but it didn't get a lot of coverage. You know, was he just wasn't interested in going on the market, and that was part of the reason he was glad they could work their extension out. But, you know, nobody wanted to talk about that. They just wanted to talk about the money. You know, and obviously I think it's smart for teams to, you know, to jump on this bandwagon and, you know, get these guys obviously before they get out there. And, you know, then, and, you know, maybe you can answer me this. Do you think maybe players are just realizing that with the money they're getting now, it's not so much important for them to be the highest paid guy as long as they're set for life?
I think that kind of plays into it, too.
You know, because, I mean, you know, if you think about this, I mean, you can just kind of, you know, look and look. And, I mean, even the extension Eloy Jimenez picked up, well, I guess technically it wasn't an extension, but, you know, he still got $43 million. You know, that, you know, barring what you would almost have to say flat-out stupidity, you know, that should be plenty of money to live the rest of his life comfortably. You know, I know there are odd things that happen, and you can have people steal your money, like happened to good old Big Baller Brand. I think they had a guy rip off $1.5 million. So, you know, stuff like that does happen. But, you know, as long as you're, you know, you're smart with your money, you know, we should never hear any issues about these guys in any kind of financial trouble, hopefully.
No, you shouldn't. And I mean, you know, for the White Sox, I think it makes a statement that, you know, they're trying to secure the guy that they have. So now we don't have to deal with the, you know, waiting for him to come up on, you know, May 1st or whatever the projected date was.
Yeah, well, you know, not only, you know, obviously Jimenez was able to make the team because, you know, he signed that contract. I honestly think if he doesn't sign that contract, he's starting the year in AAA. But,
yeah,
you know, the Padres decided that Fernando Tatis was going to be on the opening day roster, and the Mets are going to go with Pete Alonso. You know, both these guys are going to be there instead of going down for a couple weeks and then, you know, coming, you know, getting that extra year of eligibility. I had a couple of sports writers explain how stupid this was on this team's part because it, you know, obviously loses an entire year with them, you know, gives them the opportunity to leave earlier. But looking down the road, Dan, do you think this could be, let's call it a goodwill gesture. Say 7 years down the road, Tatis and Alonso hit free agency, and while the Padres are negotiating with the one or the Mets are negotiating with the other, they can say, well, look, you know, we didn't hold you back. When, you know, maybe it comes to Chris Bryant's free agency, you know, the first thing Scott Boras is going to bring up is, well, you owe me an extra year because you held my guy back.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, do you think maybe just, you know, a little goodwill gesture on the team's part?
Yeah, well, and it's funny that you said that reporters were claiming that it was stupid because they lost that year, but of course, they would be the first ones complaining when those guys are put down and not brought up again.
Right.
Until that day.
Yeah, well, it was funny because the one guy I heard actually played both sides of the fence, and they weren't talking about Alonso. I don't know why, even though he is a legitimate Rookie of the Year candidate. But they were saying how stupid it was for the Padres to bring, you know, put Tatis on the opening day roster. And then about 2 seconds later, the guy said how stupid it was for the Blue Jays to send Vlad Jr. down if he would have been healthy. So I don't know what the difference is there. Can you explain that?
Because they came out and said it too early.
Yeah, well, yeah, that, I mean, besides the idiotic explanation the general manager gave, you know, about Vlad not being ready for the majors, which, you know, let's face it, I mean, just kind of stupid. But, yeah, I couldn't figure out the difference. It was just kind of like, oh, okay, yeah, that's, you know, the funny thing is I think the guy honestly thought he was making a good point. And I was like, dude, do you realize what you just said? I mean, do you listen to the words that are out of your mouth? you basically just played both sides of the same statement, and now are you going to argue with yourself?
Well, you know, if it was on the radio, he could do a voice, you know, manipulation,
yeah,
and potentially argue with himself.
So, yeah, and then, you know, I saw this yesterday. I saw this injury yesterday, and I don't know if you caught up with this one, but as it turned out, it ended up being much, much worse than I thought it was going to be. Your guy, Steven Souza Jr., again, Dan, out for the entire season. So, and oddly, he was just crossing home plate, and I didn't get to see what happened, but somehow he tore the ACL, the LCL, and partially tore his PCL. So, yeah, he, you know, they did the MRI. They found all this. He also had damage to his postulateral capsule as well. He tore that, which is something I haven't even managed to do through all my knee injuries. So he won up me there. But, yeah, they're not only saying he's done for this year, Dan, there's talk that he may miss some time next year as covers here now. You know, you were the guy on the Souza Jr. bandwagon his rookie year.
Yeah.
Is this your fault? Did you make him?
No, I think when your team that you didn't draft for it picked him up. I actually didn't even bother looking at him this year, and I'm very glad I didn't.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, the worst part about it is, I mean, you know, besides the fact that he seems to be hurt all the time, you know, it's just sad because you're talking about a guy who's a legitimate major league power hitter. And, I mean, it would be fantastic to see what he could do if, you know, he could just play 140 games 1 year. And it just doesn't seem like we're ever going to get that chance.
Well, no, and, you know, I was going to say, I think you're looking more at the end of his career in the MLB.
Yeah, you know, I mean, or do you think maybe he's got, well, of course, this may not matter after the next CBA, but does he have to be American League bound to be a designated hitter? Of course, he did just hurt himself running the bases, so maybe that doesn't help.
I think we're looking at a guy who's quickly on his way out.
So yeah, you just gotta, yeah, I guess you gotta kind of wonder, as you know, sad as that is, and I mean, you know, he is gonna turn 30 in April, so you know he's getting up there, but yeah, he you know, his best year, Tampa Bay, played 148 games. You know, he's not a great average hitter. He had 239 that year, but he hit 30 homers and drove in 78. Even added 16 stolen bases, so he could run a little bit. I'm guessing those double-digit steal days are over now after this. But, yeah, I mean, you wonder, were those going to be his numbers if he could just stay healthy and continue to play? But yeah, you know, like you said, I guess what, you know, we'll never find out. You know, he played in 72 games last year. You know, now, like I said, it looks like he's done this year, and there's already talk about him missing time next year. So yeah, it's just it's just kind of sad.
Yeah, you know, you brought up the AL, NL. I think the compromise might be that, well maybe not me, this is what I thought of. I think it should come to the point where it should be manageable the day of, that you have to lock it in. So, you know, let's just throw Bruce Bochy out there in the Giants, and Madison Bumgarner's pitching today, but I have no clue who else is starting. You know, when Baumgartner's on the mound, you know, we have the pitcher back, and there's no change. But, you know, the next day when the pitcher who, you know, can't hit a ball to save his life, you lock it in with a DH.
So you let the home team choose? Is that what you were saying? Because that would be awesome.
Oh, you know, I didn't even think of it that way. I guess you could say you let the home teams choose, but not even that. I think it should be more a matter of the team choosing. And, it, you know, with, like, the AL, I think it should go both ways with both leagues. You know, but I think it would get confusing. Because, you know, with my idea, I think the fact that you should be able to choose, so then when the Angels come up, you know, Shohei could hit the day he pitches. So he could hit 4 days a week as opposed to three. You know, but then the rest of the week he's a DH. So, but you know, of course, that would upset the lawyers, and I don't think they'd know how to write that in, right?
Yeah, you know that. You know, as great as it would be, and I you know, if they did something like that, I would love to have the universal, you know, rule, make everybody play by those rules. But
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder if that's something like anybody has even suggested or considered. Sadly, I think a lot of people would just laugh it off, but
oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think that would be cool. You know, you would go and, you know, I don't know how many hours you'd have to make it or whatever, but, you know, stay, even if it's, you know, 4 hours before game time, you have to, you know, you have to submit your lineup. You know, it's like, okay, this is, you know, this is what we're doing. You know, today's the day we're using the designated hitter.
Well, yeah, you know, kind of going like what you said, let's just go with a 7:05 start. Well, at 3:05, your lineup needs to be in.
Right. So, yeah, you know, or by 3:05, you have to be told what you're using. You know, will there be a DH or is the pitcher going to hit? And I know, like, this year, don't they have, to submit the lineups to Major League Baseball first, correct? They changed that rule?
I believe so.
Well, you know, and I kind of wish I knew what was wrong with that. I'm not really sure.
I'd have to look
you know,
for that one again, but
you know, what the reasoning could be, but I guess
well,
they
you
have
know, that's
going on.
I think the fact that one of the reasons why they'd have to start putting those lineups in at a certain time is not only for fantasy, which I don't think the fantasy players of America, or I don't know if it's a global thing yet, but I don't think fantasy would have enough control or influence to kind of push Major League Baseball to put a lineup in. But the fact that they're becoming more Vegas ready, so to speak, I think is one of the reasons.
Yeah.
Because if you remember, they, I don't even know the word I'm looking for, but they really promoted to Vegas, like, hey, no gambling on spring training because it doesn't mean anything. And I mean, that one, I mean, how can you argue with that? You know, the coaches, the players, no one really gives a crap what happened. You know, you could go 0-4 in the spring training. But as long as, you know, the hitting coach, the manager, and you felt good about your swings and you felt good about your body, that's all that matters. You know, I mean, Justin Marger could go out there and gave up 12 home runs on 12 straight pitches, but he's just trying to locate his pitch. So, you know, I can agree with that. Spring training, no gambling, because it's kind of like gambling on wiffle ball, kind of, unless it's a bunch of friends, you know, who's buying dinner at the end of the game. But, no, I think it would have a little bit of influence from Vegas for the reason why they'd have to put their lineups in. But I don't know. But for you, well, for me, fantasy-wise, since you're not playing this year, but maybe it'll affect your daily fantasy, it would be nice to have those lineups in by a certain time so that you can just go in at that time and, you know, secure your lineup.
Yeah, it will definitely be interesting to see how it affects, like, the daily fantasy. You know, I'm wondering how that goes. And I'm sure they've covered it already. I haven't heard it. You know, they've got in the protocol.
Excuse me, dude. I got to get off. I got to get off. Dude, excuse me. I got to get off, dude. Can you hold the train? Excuse me.
A late change, you know, anything like that. If you become a man, it's rushing to get off your phone.
I
was saying, there's definitely some kind of protocol for a late injury that I'm sure they'll have to go through or whatever it ends up being. I'll see how that works out. But I don't really know. I mean, is it, see this as good or bad?
Having the lineups in?
Yeah.
No, I think it's a good thing. I mean, I think the pressure comes more on I was going to say the manager, but I'm trying to catch my breath. I almost that would have been fun. I think the pressure comes down more to the front office now. You know, like the Dodgers, for instance. You know, but I'm assuming those guys are at the stadium, you know, well before the players show up, right?
Well, you'd think they would have to be if they're going to get their favorite metrics in, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't – 20 years ago, maybe I think it would have gave you more pressure on the coaches, so to speak, because they'd have to get to the ballpark earlier and spend more time there. But other than that, no, I don't think it really – you know, I'm sure if Joe Morgan was on TV still, he'd be, you know, the first one to complain about it. I don't know how accurately it feels in over there in Boston or – you know, there's a couple older guys on – what is it, TBS? The guy from the Mets, like, is it Keith Hernandez on TV? Is it FS1?
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to get their, you know, hear their kind of their opinions on it just to see what they have to say about it. But I think with the way the game is played now, and like you said, with the saber metrics, those guys are all probably in the office, you know, well before the players even show up. And if you read Billy Beane's book, you know, he doesn't even watch the games. So, I don't know. I don't. With today's, the way the game is run, I'm just so thrown off right now. But the way the game is done and run right now, I think it wouldn't be much of an issue to have, you know, 7:05 start to have the lineups begin by 3:05.
Yeah, you know, you would think it'll be interesting. You know, it'll be interesting to see if anybody has any issues with this, but I wouldn't think so. I think everything is pretty set the way it goes. But I was pretty happy, Dan, and I don't know how much playing time my buddy here is going to get, but I did see that Hunter Pence made the Rangers opening day roster. So I was very happy about that. There were some other interesting guys. Yeah, you know, Hanley Ramirez is back. He's going to be on the Indians opening day roster. I don't know how long he'll stay there because apparently he got Fernando Tatis' spot. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. But a couple guys there. You know, we've mentioned, we mentioned Tatis and Jimenez and Alonso. So, you know, I think those are the big rookie type of guys that are going to be hanging out there that were a little bit of a surprise that these guys all ended up out there, with the way it went. I do have to tell you, Dan, I was really disappointed in the Reds. You know, they lost Scooter Jeanette for, I think it's 8 to 12 weeks, they're saying. And, you know, they have Nick Senzel, who's supposed to be this big-time minor league prospect. And they made the decision to send him to AAA, so they wouldn't have to start his clock. Even though they have the perfect opening, you know, he's played second base. I know he's been playing the outfield. But, you know, he could have slid right into that second base spot and, you know, filled in while Scooter was gone, and you could have seen what you had there. You know, he's supposed to be a prospect along the lines of Jimenez and Tatis. But, yeah, you know, we'll see if or how this affects the Reds down the road as he's going to start in the minors. So we'll have to see.
Now, of course, that comes to play in the arbitration clock, but do you think that knocks the confidence that the team has in their potential? I mean, you know, I know not a whole lot of science goes into Sports Time Radio's picks. I don't know about your buddies, if they have algorithms that they've – well, you know what I mean. You know, you and I know I'm not. You know, I'm not sitting there with an algorithm and, you know –
I am.
Up. Yeah. You've been dealing with your internet issue.
It's in my brain.
Well, you know, yeah, but you know what I mean. We're not going off the computer. We're not super scientific about it. You know, we're not like St. Louis and ripping off the Astros system to make our picks and all. But I don't know. When I looked at the NL Central, and now I know you usually throw this out, so I'm not going to throw out who we all pick. I did find it very hilarious that with, I don't know if it was the World Series or the AL, but it went Astros, Yankees, Astros, Yankees, Astros, Yankees. All of us have one of those three, one of those two. I thought that was so hilarious. So if you look at it now that I've added Mr. Fantasy Picks, then it's literally Astros, Yankees. So our faith is all in the Astros and the Yankees this year. When I was looking at it earlier, I just did a quick one over, but I don't know about you, but when I was looking at the NL Central, I still think, you know, the Brewers, yay, you signed Yasmani Grandal. Still have Christian Yelich, who's going to be a great player. But I'm still not buying the rotation fully. Yeah, the Cardinals, you not only traded for Goldschmidt and you signed him, but I just don't see how these teams – I still feel that the Cubs are the team to knock out. And even with the moves the Reds made, I don't put them up there as even a wild card contender. And while the Pirates have Chris Archer, and I think they'll be competitive, so to speak, but other than that, I don't foresee them knocking themselves out of that last place spot, but that's because that's where I put them. But, you know, I really think fourth and fifth is just going to be a battle between the Reds and the Pirates. I just don't buy all that stuff with the Central. And, you know, you brought up with the Reds, and I guess that's where I'm going with it. Do you feel like they're the office, the managers, the whole nine don't really have the confidence that they're really going to be a playoff contending team? as I rambled on,
you know,
where I was trying to go with it.
I think they know all along that they're not quite there yet. You know, when you look at the team, it should be much improved. You know, the problem becomes year in, no matter how you want to look at it, and I know, you know, if you've listened to us on Fridays and heard Sean Burks do talk about the Cubs, you would think they're a 100 loss team. While, you know, again, not to give too much away, because I did, you know, I will be putting the predictions up in our following days, but I can give mine away. I actually have them going to the World Series.
And
so we are in we are in two different spectrums when it comes to the Cubs, and I really have them going to the World Series based on the fact that while I hate their bullpen, they have the best starting rotation in the division, and mm-hmm. I think in the end that becomes the Reds' downfall. While they improved it, you know, you look and Alex Wood is already hurt. You know, he's going to start the year on the injured list now. It's no longer the disabled list. You know, Sonny Gray was a good pitcher in Oakland, but he hasn't been a good pitcher anyplace else. So we have to see what he is in Cincinnati. Tanner Roark is really solid. I really like him as a number three, but you know, he's not an 18 game winner. And then they're going to fill out with some of their young talent. You know, Luis Castillo does look like he's destined to be a top of the rotation guy, but you know, other than that, I mean, Anthony DeSclafani, you know, Tyler Molly, I believe it's pronounced. You know, there's guys like that they've got to fill in with. I am a little surprised Matt Whistler did make the rotation coming over from Atlanta. You know, like I know they like Cody Reed and they have these guys bouncing around, but we're talking about young, unproven pitchers. And those guys normally don't come in and have a fair amount of success. But, man, I got to tell you, their offense should be fun to watch. So, you know, and the funny thing is, man, I wanted to do it so badly, and I couldn't do it. I really wanted to pick Yasiel Puig for National League MVP, and I just didn't do it. I thought about it and thought about it, and I really think he's in for the best year of his career, you know, in Cincinnati if they just kind of let him go and let him play and don't try to overmanage him. And, you know, looking back at how the Dodgers were run, I think being that they're a sabermetric team, it may have hurt him because he's a young guy who just wants to go out and play. You know, those things aren't going to factor into his game as much. So you let him go. You know, you're going to have your bad moments with him. I mean, sadly, that's just the kind of player he is. And, you know, you've just got to live through these things. Obviously, the Scooter Gennett loss is just huge. You know, it looks like the way they're going to fill it in is Jose Peraza is going to move over to second, and that puts Jose Iglesias as the everyday shortstop. Iglesias is a fantastic defender, not much of a hitter. I don't know if the ballpark will help him out a little bit, and maybe he'll produce a little better, but yeah, you lose a boatload of offense waiting for Jeanette to come back. And then, you know, even when he comes back, you know, those groin injuries can nag. And you kind of wonder, you know, how long before he's 100%. And, you know, will he kind of get there? But, yeah, you know, like I said, they should be fun to watch. I'm hoping Senzel is up and playing in a couple weeks. I think it's just ridiculously stupid for him to not be sitting there in their everyday lineup. I mean, there's, you know, whatever excuse you want to use, he's transitioning to the outfield. You know, however you go about it, I mean, you know, he's the number one prospect right now in Major League Baseball because obviously Tatis, Jimenez, and some of the other guys are going to be on the opening day rosters. You know, I think if they would have brought him up and plugged him in, either at second every day or in center field ahead of Scott Schebler, you know, you throw this guy out there, you give him your at-bats, this team is probably a year or two away, and that's going to be the interesting thing to see is if they can keep the lineup together, because I believe Puig is in the last year of a deal. So, you know, will they be able to hang on to him, you know, going forward, because he seems like a perfect fit. And I'm looking here. Let me see. Yeah, he'll be a free agent after this season. You know, but like I've said a million times on this podcast, if I'm the Marlins, I want him as the centerpiece of my rebuild. He's Cuban in Miami, and he's got a gigantic personality. That's exactly what they need on the young team like this, you know, workaround. You know, the other thing is, you know, they added these pitchers. Well, Tanner Roark and Alex Wood hit the free agent market next year as well. So you're going to have decisions there. Obviously, you know, Matt Kemp playing out the string isn't a big deal. He's probably going to be a part-time player who hopefully can add some, you know, some wisdom and experience. And, you know, in Cincinnati may hit some home runs. So that, you know, that could be a big plus there. You know, Iglesias just signed the one-year minor league deal. He's just here for that. So it will be it'll be interesting to kind of see how the team comes together. And yeah, I really think they're gonna be fun this year, but they're not a playoff contender. I don't think they're better than the Cubs, the Cardinals, or maybe even the Brewers. You know, I'm not high on the Brewers. I've talked about it all off season that I don't like that they just basically sat on their hands when it came to their pitching staff, and they're paying for it a little bit now. You know, they actually ended up reaching out to Craig Kimbrel to see if they could work something out there, because, you know, you're looking at, you know, Jim Jeffress is already down to start the season, and Corey Knebel is having issues with his elbow. And, you know, not only is he doubtful for opening day, he's going to be a test case as it goes along. You know, they're still waiting for Jimmy Nelson to be back. You know, they lost Brett Sutter for the entire year. You know, you're looking at three guys who were integral parts of a team getting to the NLCS, and then a fourth guy that they were counting on coming back to solidify a rotation who's not there. So, you know, keep adding the questions. You know, I know everybody loves the Brewers, and they're all on the bandwagon, and there's nothing wrong with their everyday lineup except for the fact that Mike Moustakas is probably going to make 30 errors at second base. So, yeah, you know, nothing wrong there. But, you know, you're looking at Dansby guys, Ulysses Chacin, Freddie Peralta, Brandon Woodruff, Corbin Burnes, and Zach Davies as your starting five right now. Dan, do you have any of those guys winning the Cy Young this year?
Zach Davies, of course. No, I don't.
Better yet, do you have any of those guys pitching more than five innings at the start this year?
No.
Yeah. So
why the hell did I pick Craig Counsell as manager of the year? What the hell was I thinking? I guess I got to change it before.
I haven't posted anything. Yeah, you can change it before I post it. But just so you know, I am putting your picks up first. I decided this year I'm going to put them up as individual pages. And I'm going to try to do three tomorrow and three Friday so I can get all our picks up before the weekend and everybody can kind of see what we're going with. So,
yeah, I'm gonna change that. I don't know what the hell I was thinking. I think I was playing off of last season for some reason.
Yeah, don't steal any more of my picks. It's bad enough we both have the Cubs going to the World Series. So...
Hey, I was the first one to put him in, so.
Yes, you were, but I think I did mine before you put yours in. So you've just been listening to the podcast, heard me high on the Cubs, and you bought into my hype. What happened, wasn't it?
Well, no, I mean, I think part of it, too, is Uncle Bob. You know, I get when Uncle Bob is all, you know, the Bears this and the Bears that. He gives me some pretty solid knowledge when it comes to the football, when it comes to the football, when it comes to the NFL. You know, and he, although he was on the Kevin White pick, and I don't think you guys could ever meet and talk about that because you'd probably end up fighting over that one. Because he would tell you you're wrong and you would tell him he's wrong the entire time. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. But, you know, even last year, you know, he wasn't going to come out and tell me that, you know, the Bears are, you know, they got Mitchell and they've got this and that and they're going to win, you know, 16 games. He felt that they were going to do better, you know, whatever, regardless. But with this Cubs team, I'm so disappointed that they didn't sign Harper. And how can a billionaire come out and tell us that they don't have the money to spend? And then he's like, at the end of the day, when I was leaving, he's like, well, you know, maybe I'm telling you this, they're saving that money for Bryant. Well, duh. And that's what they mean by they don't have the money, is because they need to spend it on the guys that they already have. And I think that's what a lot of people don't understand. And a lot of Cubs fans and I don't think it's just Cubs fans in general. I think it's, of course, media-driven that in the offseason, your team isn't going to make it to the next level unless you make the big signing. And I personally wish the Ricketts didn't say anything about money and didn't say anything about anything and would have just ignored the topic and left it alone. Because to me, what I see is he sees a confidence in the team that they already have. And like you've reiterated the entire offseason, why the hell didn't they spend a little money on the bullpen? Even a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, I guess they did spend a little bit, but a little bit more, I think, would have helped over the guys that they went after. You might as well have just brought back Justin Grimm.
Yeah. Now, humorously, I don't know if you noticed this. Did you go over Mr. Fantasy picks?
I quickly put him in. I didn't really look at him.
I'm looking at them right now, and I am going to guarantee you that his selection for NL Rookie of the Year will not happen because he picked Ronald Acuña, who was Rookie of the Year last year.
Yeah.
So he's definitely not going to get that one right.
I'll send him a text.
And also wondering, and I'm guessing this is way off pace here, but I don't believe Paul Molitor is managing this year, so I don't think he's going to win AL Manager of the Year. So I'm just going out on a limb there on a couple of these, but that's just me. So
he's not managing the Twins anymore?
No, Rocky Baldelli manages the Twins now. And just so you know, you didn't pick Craig Counsell, so you're okay there.
Oh. Why did I see Craig Counsell on there then?
Because that's who Mr. Fantasy picked.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, humorously, that's just how things kind of worked out. But yeah, it is a interesting group of selections here this year by, and we did end up with six people because my buddies both came through and sent those to me. So, you know, I was a little disappointed that I think there weren't as many outrageous selections for awards as I would have hoped for, but, you know, I guess some are pretty interesting.
Can you even like my Mike Trout for MVP?
No, you know, I just like a lot of the MVP picks were disappointing. You know, it was just kind of the run of the mill. you know, well, I'll take Crowder, I'll take this guy who's on top, or, you know, that guy. No, nobody really searched. I actually did some digging to come up with a couple guys, and, you know, I was just kind of like, ah, crap. So, no. But, yeah, it'll be humorous looking at this, because obviously if his picks aren't changed, I will post them like that and then make fun of him for picking those guys. So
you're right, though. When I was putting in Acuña, I was like, wait a minute, wasn't he rookie the other year last year?
You know, well, it was kind of strange, because like when I was putting, you know, I had my friend Tank and Ken make predictions. They helped us out with the Super Bowl, so I figured they'd be interested in doing baseball. And if I didn't know better, I would swear Hank just took the standings from last year and sent them to me, because it looks quite similar in some circumstances. But, yeah, I was just kind of like, you know, but I was like, well, to each his own. I mean, you know, if he really thinks the Orioles are a third-place team, more power to him. I assume they're going to lose 110 games, but that's just me. So maybe it works out for them.
You know, and as the years have gone on, they're the team I forget that's even in the league.
Yeah, and everybody stole my comeback player of the year. So I had a couple guys I was going to put down. And man, I had to really go hunting for two guys, because I think I had like four guys I was going to go with, and they were all gone. I was like, man, I don't want to pick the same comeback player of the year. I got to go find somebody else. So.
Well, you already knew mine before we even. I don't know. I think before you made the picks, or I don't know. I told you mine a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, you know, it was just kind of funny. You know, looking at him, I was like, oh, man, you know. So, but, yeah, I can also tell that Stu is really down on the Cubs, because he only picked one Cub to win an award. You know, normally his picks are loaded with Cubs. No, he took you, Darvish, as his comeback player of the year.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, for everyone, I think that's a good one, because he kind of represents the fan base, so to speak, and, you know, everyone's down on you.
Well, yeah, he was actually going to be my favorite. I didn't think anybody would pick him, but Stu took him, and my friend Ken took him, so I was kind of surprised. I was like, wow. But, yeah, he was my first choice in the NL. You know, and then my buddy Hank took my second choice, so I had to go to my third guy. So, you know, and then in the AL, Ken took my first choice, and Hank and Stu took my second choice. You were the only guy who I actually never considered the guy you picked. I thought about the guy Mr. Fantasy took, but I wasn't really sure if it was a comeback. So I ended up going a different way, and I just kind of had some fun with that pick. And when everybody sees it, you'll understand why. So, but yeah, those will start popping up. Hopefully tomorrow, I'm going to try to get Dan Stew's and then probably one of my buddies, either Hank's ends up. And then on Friday, I'll try to get the remaining three up, which will be mine, Mr. Fantasies, and then whichever one I left out. So, I'm hoping it reads a little better this way, as I can do them individually so you don't have to scroll through everything. But we'll see. And, of course, they will come up at sportstimeradio.com. You'll be able to find them there. But, yeah, I always have a good time making the predictions. It's always fun for me to try to guess what's going to happen. Even though oddly, we haven't done as well lately.
No. You know, I feel like when we first started, we didn't think about it as much. We just picked.
Yeah.
And it worked. You know, now,
yeah, I guess,
you know, now I feel like we get one division right, and that's the most obvious. You know, I think last year, AL Central was the one that everyone, like, pegged. No problem.
Yeah, and I'm guessing it's going to be the same this year, you know, at least with the winner, because I believe everybody has Cleveland. So.
Yeah, I don't. So it'll be fun,
you know,
but, I think one thing that we'll be able to reflect on in November, and hopefully this comes true, because I really want to not even write a blog about it, but just maybe put a tweet about it. Championships aren't won in the off season.
No, we learned that.
No. So, you know, I get it. You know, it's exciting what the off season is. It's always exciting for all the sports in general, except for hockey. I think it doesn't get as much of a splash as the main three do. Even though the NHL has made it to ESPN Plus, if you pay for that,
yeah.
I think you have to pay for it, then you'll get it. But you know, the off season is always fun. I think this year though, Major League Baseball was very much drawn out and slightly more annoying than it had been in the past. Where I think, you know, you brought up the fact with the NFL, it's like there's dates that it opens and, you know, there was a lot of activity when the first of the NFL stuff happened. But again, you know, the Raiders have Antonio Brown. Does that mean they're going to win the Super Bowl? Or how about the Jets?
Yeah.
Are they going to win the Super Bowl? No.
Yes.
You know, it's not the offseason that wins it. So I just don't understand why the people that it's their job to do this for a living don't realize that the season isn't won in the off season.
So, yeah, it was kind of humorous because, you know, I think early on when we started doing this, you and I kind of fell into that trap of, oh yeah, look at all these great moves. This team is going to be the next whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then the season rolls around and it's like, good Lord, they suck. So.
Yeah.
You know, you got to kind of wait and see. But, yeah, you know, winning the offseason doesn't always equate to, you know, being a playoff team or in reality winning anything. It, you know, especially in baseball, it seems to be those moves around the trade deadline that set you up more than anything, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, the biggest trade I think in recent history that I know of that I was – totally against for the Cubs would have been acquiring Justin Verlander. I was like, no, he's getting old. You know, all anyone could talk about though in Chicago was, yes, bring him so that Kate Upton's in the box every night and in a suite, not in the box. Never mind. Get your minds out of the gutter. But no, you know, that was kind of the biggest argument here in Chicago was, yeah, let's bring Kate Upton here every freaking night. You know, it'd be awesome.
Yes.
Now look at it. You know, I mean, I think that would have been the bigger move than Landon Ketcher, who's dad got in trouble because he traded his son, and a guy who, you know, I don't think he's in baseball anymore, is he? Or is he playing for your team?
Who?
Justin Wilson.
He signed with the Mets.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, he'll be coming out of the bullpen for the Mets this year. You know, with the way that goes, he'll probably get, you know, he'll probably get 50 holds because he's not with the Cubs anymore. So.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that was one of those moves where I just try to ignore it, forget he's even playing anymore.
Oh, the Dan Wyatt is taking off, but we'll come back tomorrow. We'll call the Hunt for the opening day after. If all the way, you know, we'll come back to the get over there, check out what's going on. They do long enough to call you. It's a little bit of a Facebook page and get that on life, but don't forget to do that for my radio. We'll be up there on the bottom of Twitter. But always, I'm not on motion and live. We really appreciate you when you do that. But don't forget, the podcast is available for you to listen to anytime you want.
Sportstimeradio.com.